128. Psalm 128, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're 6 verses in Psalm 128. We'll read all 6 of them here. We'll preach a message tonight entitled The Foundation. The Foundation. Psalm 128, verse 1. Everybody there?
Amen.
All right. Psalm 128, verse 1. Picture tonight of a godly home. That's what we have in Psalm 128. There's several pictures throughout the Word of God on a godly home. And tonight, we're going to go out here of Psalm 128 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine." Think of that now, gentlemen. A fruitful vine, right? "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine." It's one of my favorite passages describing my wife. I don't know why, but I have a good time with it. She's that vine, you know. And you fellows that are married, you know, she's a vine. Yes, sir. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." Let's look to the Lord tonight, ask Him to have His way. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God, and we ask, Lord, that as we take our high and holy position in heavenly places in Christ, that wickedness and distractions and those things would be really barred from this place. That those things would, that Satan, his wickedness and demons would flee, that the Word of God would have free course in our hearts and our lives. I pray tonight that You would encourage Your people. You would encourage them in their homes, their marriages, and in what You have for them. Would You please do it now? I ask it. And Lord, and convince of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, what we need, Lord, we pray. We thank You that You're the great counselor. And would You do it now tonight? Counsel us, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, it was pretty long ago. I wrote this message a pretty good long time ago. I'd say about 1 year and 6 months ago is when it was. My wife and I were out at a restaurant, and we were on a date. And, you know, I know that when you're sitting in a restaurant and it's full of people, that you're really not supposed to listen to the table that's behind you, right? But this lady was so loud, right? And she seemed to want everybody to know what was going on. And really, we had a hard time really having our date. You know what I'm saying? And you say, "Well, preacher, that's eavesdropping. You know, you shouldn't." Well, whatever. This dear woman must have been in her mid-60s. And believe me, she did all the talking. Remember this pretty? You don't remember it? No. Mm-mm. I do. You couldn't hear. I can remember. She did all the talking, all right? And for that time that we were there, at that lunch hour, she poured her heart out to this other lady about her horrible home life and when she was a kid. And just went on. I mean, detail after detail. You're like, "What in the world, lady?" You know what I'm saying? At the lunch thing. And the bottom line is this. It really made an impression on me. All right? The bottom line is this. She felt as though she was not loved and not wanted in that home. All right? And here's the point. This soul of this lady, years and years. Folks, she's in her 60s. All right? She's on the other side of her childhood. And yet the wounds are remembered. The scars are deep. And today, again, the world looks at marriage and the family all the time, and they do whatever it takes to pull it down and to even belittle it, make fun. These sitcoms on these TV always make fun of the dad and make fun of the moms and try to rip down the marriage, make the kid look smarter and all these things. Everything's backwards because Satan has his artillery and the world has their artillery faced at the modern day family the way God intended. Right, and that's a fact. And again, years later, this lady's struggling with this thing. You know, and I don't know how many times, man. I talk to a lot of people. Preaching some, no doubt. You know, we get out in different places. People talk to you and say things. But even as a tree guy, all right, you hear people talk a lot about their childhoods. All right? It's important. Childhoods make a huge impression on the person from the start. Just how it is. All right? And at any rate, why? Why the turmoil in the world about this, about the home? Why the misconceptions? Why the targeting of it? Why those things? Because God, in Genesis chapter 2, established the very first institution of marriage. He established the home right there in Genesis chapter 2. All right? And the home is the building blocks of society. Look at our society, ladies and gentlemen. Look at it. People don't know which bathroom to use, please. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Something going on. All right? And this is a breakdown of the home. Yes, it's a breakdown of society. Yes, well, we got to get back to God's principles. But it's a breakdown of dads and moms saying, hey, listen, this is how you live. This is what you're supposed to do. And the only way moms, dads are going to know, they have a book. They have a Bible. Where you get these principles, and they're taught. And here in Psalm 128, we have a wonderful picture of the Lord's design for the home. And there's many pictures throughout the Bible. And you could go a long time on that. But the first thing I want us to see tonight here is blessed is every one. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord. First thing I want us to see is a blessed man. And it says, everyone that feareth the Lord. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? The blessing is on the man that fears him. What's it mean to fear God? Well, Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 14, 26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Proverbs 14, 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 19, 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And that fear of the Lord is simply the fact that you truly have a fear of God and what He can do to you and who He is and what He is. All right? It's a healthy fear of God. If I don't do this, he could do whatever he could nail me. It's plain and simple. That is the fear of God. Yes, it's coupled with His love. Yes, it's coupled with those other attributes of God. But folks, of all things, the blessing in this entire Bible is those that fear the Lord. All right? And that fear is simply knowing that He is God and He can do what He wants with you. All right? And notice here, it says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. Think of it now. Walketh in the Lord's ways. Think of a person coming to a crossroads. Well, I could go this way. I could go that way. I could go my way. Young people, you've got some decisions to make. We all have them, right? Or I could go God's way, right? And we talked about how to find the will of God last night, I hope, or whatever night it was. Hope that was a help to you. But nonetheless, you know, an individual that fears the Lord makes choices in light of God's word. I know of a young man, Christian man. We'll call him Phil, okay? And the young fella named Phil, he's in his 20s. He met a young Christian lady, also in her 20s, and they kind of fell hard for each other, you know, and they talked a lot. They definitely got emotionally involved and began to talk about marriage and different things. And you know, they were going down this road, and they were away from home. And Phil's parents, you know, they weren't too sure about this, right? Now, understand something. He's older. He can make his own decisions. He's maybe not out of the house, but definitely old enough to do whatever in his 20s, okay? No doubt about that. But there's one thing about Phil. He feared the Lord, and he was careful. Oh, yeah, he could have done what he wanted here, and nobody would have said a thing, right? Well, maybe his parents and they'd had a little whatever, but nobody else would have. But he's like, boy, what if they're right? I'm not sure about this. And I'll tell you, he was frustrated with his dad and mom, and it was a little bit like this, okay, with them. And they just would not. They said, listen, Phil, we're not going to give our blessing on this. We do not believe this is what the Lord would have for you. And they're a home that feared the Lord, okay? And he struggled badly, okay? And in time, and in listening to his parents, and not without a struggle. You know, it says Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. And, you know, and I'll say this tonight. If you're in dad and mom's home and you're under their roof, you're honoring it and you're obeying and you're doing what they say. All right? Okay? Get a little older. God called me to preach. I waited for dad and mom to give their blessing. I don't know if I remember that. They did it right there in the kitchen. I wasn't going to quit Penn State. I wasn't going to quit my job because I just felt like, boy, I just feel like I'm not sure what I had to do here. And you say, well, you just go preach. Well, maybe I should, God didn't lead me that way. And this is individual stuff, folks. We're talking about finding the will of God individually. So you don't take what the preacher says and like, well, that's just cookie cutter how it is. No. You need to follow the Spirit of God. And I was following the Spirit of God, and God wanted me to have those, to right back there, their blessing on that. And they gave it. All right? And so I'm just saying, and I believe this young man felt the same way. And they never gave it. And he struggled. And you know, he began eventually to receive peace from the Lord that it was not the will of God to pursue that young lady. And I could talk of many couples tonight that went into marriage without the parents' blessing and find nothing but heartache and disaster. You talk a lot about that tonight. Maybe you could go the other way. I don't know. Okay? That it really worked out. But again, question, what can prevent that disaster? Tonight, young people, listen so carefully. You say, well, Ben, we hear this all the time from you, right? Maybe so. What can prevent that? The fear of God. The fear of God. Making decisions in the fear of God. Do you, on a daily basis, answer, you know, just between you and the Lord tonight, folks, do you, on a daily basis, ask God what he would have you choose about your job, how you're going to handle a situation, about your schedule, how you spend your time, what haircut you're going to have? I'm talking about asking the Lord. I'm talking about relationship with the Lord. I'm not talking about some guy getting up and making rules at a church. I'm not talking about that. Between you and the Lord, what's he want? You see, what clothes you're going to wear, how tight they're going to be. All right, now I'm 138 pounds soaking wet, and I don't want skinny jeans on me. You know what I'm talking about? I don't. And nobody else wants them on me, okay? That's just how it is. So I know that that's not what I'm supposed to have is a pair of nice set of skinny jeans, right? So no. So I'm not going to go that route, but even my diet, right? What we're going to eat. All of life's decisions, you know. You see, the fear of the Lord is the attitude of, Lord, what would you have me to do here? What do you want? Lord, how do you want me to handle this circumstance that I'm dealing with? Do you fear him tonight? Do you fear the consequences of what might happen when you might do the wrong thing? Folks, we need to be sensitive to him. I'm talking about relationship with him, a sensitivity to the Spirit of God, to what he says through his word, what he's telling you in your life. You see, we're talking about blessed is every one that feareth the Lord. Okay, that's the blessing. And look at the second part of that verse. It says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Interesting, isn't it? The second part of that verse. You know what? People, watch this now. People who fear God, they work. They have jobs, right? Yeah. Okay, unless they're unable, get that. That's different. Because, you know, that's biblical. Take care of folks that can't take care of themselves. All right? No problem with that. But they work. They have jobs. And for the most part, they're content. They're thankful. They find satisfaction in their walk with the Lord. What are we talking about? People who fear God. They find satisfaction in their walk with the Lord and with the portion that he gives them in this life. Hey, listen, God's good. I mean, you know, I don't know about you. I love the idea. I love to cut my own firewood. I love to have it all stacked in the shed and have it ready to go. And there's a certain satisfaction about, I don't need the electric company. I don't need to have the fuel guy come. I can get it out in a brush. You know what I'm saying? And how about some of you grow your own food, right? And you have that in the garden there, and you get that in there, and you hear those jars popping when you're canning and everything. You put those things on the shelf. Listen, there's a certain satisfaction about living in that certain way. That's what it's talking about, the labor of your hands, the fruit of your hands, the fruit of your labor, okay? That's an important thing, all right? That kind of puts off the whole modern-day video game, TV watching, whatever people do, right? When you can get in and do some of these things for yourself. You know, some people don't know where their meat comes from. They don't. Okay? But we're talking about the labor of your hands and the fruit thereof. There's something about satisfying, about working and putting food on the table, man. Isn't there? There is. Absolutely, about being able to pay bills, you know. And the Bible says, you know, it'll be well with thee, you know. And there's a lot of folks think, well, labor and work, you know, that's servitude and that's a burden. No. Those that fear the Lord, they're blessed by their labor. They're blessed by the fruit it bears. There's a satisfaction in it. God gives that. God gave Adam a job. He was to tend the garden. That's what he was supposed to do. From the beginning, and that was a perfect world then, folks. Okay? So number one, we see a blessed man. But number two, we're going to get to this vine, this blessed wife. Watch this now. Verse 3, all right? Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. We'll get the children here in a little bit, all right? Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For a price is far above rubies. Now listen up. Now. You notice that word find is an, boys, listen. It's an action word. It is. It's an action word. It's, that word find is a, what's an action word anyway? A verb. It's a verb. Right. It's a verb, man. Find it. All right, what am I saying? Hey, listen, I think it does take some effort, you know? And I know it's talking about the fellow that had to wait on the Lord and didn't. By the way, that guy got married, and he's happily married now. The guy I just told you about, Phil, yeah, he waited on God. He didn't go with what he thought he should do and went with his blessing of his parents, and it was very hard for him. But guess what? He's happily married today, and he is so glad. He says, he'll say to me, he said, Benny, I'm so glad I waited. So he says, yeah. So anyway, that's so neat. But findeth, okay? It takes some action. Now, the other thing about that verse is, scripturally speaking, okay, the lady doesn't pursue the man. The man pursues the lady, right? And so that's a scriptural thing. I mean, what did God do with Adam, right? He said, where art thou, Adam? He sought her, or he sought Adam, okay? Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, who's he seeking? He's seeking a bride. So think on that. So I'm not sure about Sadie Hawkins, and I say that right. I'm not sure about all that, but whatever. Maybe that's just a fun thing the kids do. But I'm just saying, whatever. Okay, the Bible's clear. The man should put forth some effort, look for a wife, and it could take a while. And there's definitely a waiting period. All right. But listen here. It's not like this. She's female. She's cute and she's available. Okay, that's it. No. That's not, listen, that will drag you down to hell in a certain situation. Please understand that, guys. Please understand it. It'll take you, listen, now watch it now. Watch it now. You federal boys. You guys do beef, right? The ox. The ox go to slaughter, but I think you boys call him a steer, because that's a steer and he's good eating, isn't he? Yes, sir. But when he's going to the butcher, he got no choice. He's in the trailer, isn't he? You're right. He's in the trailer. He's heading to Mark's. You boys take him to Mark's? Mark's meat? Yeah. They just didn't know, Corby. They didn't know. They're going to Mark's meat. Listen. That beef is getting hauled to Mark's meat. And when he gets there, he's going to be meat. Okay? The Bible compares a man following after a strange woman to one of those steers the Phederos raise going to the butcher shop. That's what it is. An ox going to slaughter. Okay? And guys, it matters. It matters. All right? Hey, ladies, let me tell you, it doesn't necessarily say anything about the ladies going to the butcher shop, but you're going there too if you can pull that maneuver. Because it works both ways. I'll tell you that right now. You get involved with the wrong guy, all right? I know, you don't want a bozo. You don't. I told you kids that. They're out there, plenty of them, all right? Wait on the Lord. It matters. You want a guy that's going to fear God, all right? And young men, you want a lady that's going to fear God. You know, Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman that fears the Lord. Yes, that's what we're talking about. A blessed marriage is portrayed right here in Psalm 128 between two people, both a man and a woman, whose life goal, watch it, whose life goal is to honor Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Well, I want to get married just because I want to get married. Well, I want to get married and I want to have kids. Hey, God gives those desires. Nothing wrong with those things. Please understand that. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? But the main reason to get married, okay, and the main reason to breathe is to glorify Him. Is to bring Him honor. And if you can hold somebody's hand and walk off into the sunset serving God, there ain't no Beth and nothing better than that. You hear what I'm saying tonight, guys? Okay? Life's too hard. Life can get you down. It's too hard not to have a partner. It's too hard not to have one that's going to pick you up, even when you're way down. See, you need something real, okay? And that's a man or woman who fears God. Somebody's faithful. All right, somebody that has something. Somebody that's got some character. Somebody's got something in them, you see. And that is what we're talking about. And that is what the Lord is talking about. And if you want to marry someone that fears the Lord and loves God and displays that kind of character and that kind of fruit in their lives, you must right now decide you're going to be a person like that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you kids, all of you. I'm going to tell everybody, but I know, I'll get to the adults, there's more coming, all right? But right now, the kids is, I'll have to get back to that. Sorry. No, I just forgot here. What was I going to say? I was aiming at the youth, and I just should have just kept pounding them there. And I missed them. I missed you kids. I missed you that time.
They should be the kind of person they want to marry.
They should be the kind of person that they want to marry. And also, nope, I'm just going to trust the Lord. I don't remember. I don't remember what I was going to say. So, anyway. Blessed everyone that feareth the Lord. Yes, they need to be the kind of person that they... Oh, yep, I remember now. Listen, guys, listen. And it's so important. I don't know why. Listen, you're going to attract the kind of person that you are. Because I'm going to tell you right now. They're all seem to be over here. There's some back here, too. a godly young man is looking for a godly young lady. You don't understand. He's got antennas and satellite dishes looking for that thing. You think I'm kidding? Uh-uh. A young lady, she has antennas and satellite, and she's looking for a godly man because that attracts her to that person. Okay? It's not because he's such a handsome dog, although that didn't hurt. All right? Don't get me wrong. Got to be physical attraction. That's marriage. Okay? No doubt. But that's what we're talking about. Okay? We don't need heartache. We don't need a mess. Right? And we need you want to marry right. All the rest is sinking sand. I'm just going to turn to Ecclesiastes. You can turn there if you'd like. I'd like you to go to Ecclesiastes, if you'd like, chapter 4. I want you to look at this verse. It's really nailed some things down for me. I really like this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one. And this right here, I believe it's Solomon here speaking of marriage, right? Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. All right? Now listen, I'm real glad sometimes when I fall that Jennifer lifts up her fellow. All right? You know what I'm talking about? And you've been married any amount of time, you're glad when the other lifts up their fellow. Okay? Because it happens. All right? We get down sometimes. All right? Yes, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, sometimes mentally. There's things that are hard in life. Okay? Now, watch it. One will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And it goes on to say here, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. What's the threefold cord? It's a man, a woman, and their God. That's what the threefold cord is. The man, the woman, and God. All right? We're talking about God working in a marriage. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says that married people, they're heirs together the grace of life. Heirs together. All right? That's hand in hand. That's a partnership. That's what it is. Psalm 128 here talks about two people that fear the Lord, right? And yeah. And then it says in verse 3 there, it says, and she shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Now, listen, no doubt that that part of a good marriage is children. There's no doubt about that. But the Lord opens and closes the womb, and not everybody can have children. That's just how it is, you know. And you trust the Lord with that because He does. The Bible says He opens and closes the matrix, which is the womb. And so, but many times it is the fruit are the children. And you know, when I drive up someone's driveway to do an estimate, and I see swing sets there and bikes scattered everywhere, and you know, and you'll see little tree houses and stuff, and it's part of that fruitfulness of that vine, right? And part of that, you know, and you go in the house and there's pictures on the refrigerator it's all scribbled up, you know what I'm saying? And pictures and different things, and you got the pictures hanging on the wall, and the kids, listen, that's part of that vine, all right? And sure, guys will put pictures up, but not so much as ladies, all right, a lot. But again, like I said, sometimes that the Lord doesn't give children, and that's not always the case. But that vine is still by the side of the house. I've been very few places, okay, where there was a fellow living alone that everything looked really nice, especially the bathroom. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, my dad, he did siding and windows for years, and we'd do a bachelor's house while you had to watch where you put your hand. You know what I'm talking about? Because you know you're getting into this up in his bathroom, okay? And, you know, because there's something that a woman brings that a man can't do. I mean, that's just how it is. And you know, he probably won't have curtains on his windows, or he may or may not. He you know, his interior decorating is a mess and everything. We picked this one guy up one time to go deer hunting, and picked him up and went hunting there in the morning. It was time to eat lunch, and everybody gets their sandwiches out, and he gets his out, and you know, and poor bugger, he had this mold all over his bread. You know, he put the sandwich together, and it's just like, man, listen, there's just something a woman brings to the home that a man can't handle, or he can't do it. And so it's just the way it is. Yep, man couldn't do it if he tried. And God has gifted her to make a house a home. That's what he's done. And it's glorious. It's brilliant, really. But you talk about that vine around the sides of the house. You see nice flower beds and things around the house. And yeah, there's some men care about that, and they like their landscape and everything, but most men really don't. You know what I'm saying? The lady, she wants that, you know. And I was given this estimate one time, and it was in this lady's flower bed. And I said, yeah, we're going to take these trees out, you know, and the place just looked, you know, she wanted everything perfect. I said, hey, do you want the stumps out? Now, it's going to cost you extra money. And I looked at the guy, and the guy looks, he already got the price for the trees. He wasn't sure about that neither. He looked back at the wife, he goes, I don't think I'm going to get away with not taking the stumps out. I knew he wouldn't. And so I thought, you know what? But that's it. Why? Listen, because she's a keeper at home. She has a different look on than you do. Okay, she wants things looking nice, right? So that's how it is. In Titus chapter 2, she's a keeper at home. You know, I got a question for you. How often do you just get the urge, Ron? How often do you get the urge just to rearrange the furniture? Okay. I don't have to say anything else. You know what I'm saying? They are different. They, you know, I just think we need to rearrange this furniture. It's like, oh, man, okay. Okay. You know? So, and that's what I'm saying, though. That's a productive vine. You understand me? That's a healthy vine. That's what you want. You don't want your vine depressed, you know? You don't want her beat down. You know, you want to tend her and keep her healthy and productive and active. And an active vine, I want to tell you men, they think stuff. They think about things. They do things, all right? They got things going on. They've got suggestions and plans and all this stuff. And listen, but I want to tell you, it's not to your advantage to snuff it. To snuff it out. It's not. No. And so it's, you know, I mean, I think Proverbs 31 talks about, I mean, that woman's motivated. She's hardworking. She's multitasker, right? She's a problem solver. She's an improviser. She runs a business out of her home. She even buys real estate. I mean, this isn't a timid, backward, weak-minded person, all right? This woman, you know, a woman, women that fear the Lord have a head on their shoulders, and they are hardworking, productive people who bring compassion, consolation, affection, and stability to a home like nobody can. It's true. Talks about in the book of I think Pastor Rich Psalms talks about their daughters being like polished cornerstones, right? The cornerstone of the thing. Of the building, you know. So, a blessed man, number one. Number two, a blessed woman. Number three, and we'll go quickly here, blessed children. Look at verse 3 there. Verse 3 says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Thy children like olive plants around about thy table. Thy children like olive plants. You know, I got studying on that. And those olive plants over in Israel, the parent plant grows up, and then these plants grow out around the roots. And so they kind of all grow together, all right? And so it talks about olive plants round about thy table. It's like these little plants around the parent plant on that. It's a word picture that children should be raised around their parents, close to them, you know, around thy table. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them. How much you talk about them? When they'll sit us in that house, when they'll walk us by the way, when they'll rise us up, when they'll sit us down, right? All time. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, Isaiah 28:9, precept must be upon precept and line upon line, here a little and there a little. Children have a short attention time. Many times it's not what you necessarily teach them, but it's what they catch. Not what they're taught, but what they're caught a lot of times too, you know. And here's one of the biggest things. If you are one way at home and another way at church, they know. They pick up like that. If Dad, if you go home and you scream and carry on and yell and you're a bear at home and all the time and this, you come to church, hey, how you doing, everybody? You know, listen, they're gone. They see that, they know that. Listen, they despise that. You know. And it matters. No. A Christian home is everybody's the same everywhere. And that means you're going to make mistakes at home and you're going to make mistakes in the public. You are who you are, though. Listen, that's called walking in the light. That's liberating, people. That's liberating in your life. Sleep good at night. Walk in the light. You know, and these kids learn by example. 1 John 13:15. For I've given you an example, Jesus said, that ye should do as I've done unto you. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. All right? James 5:10 talks about the prophets and how they're an example to us and how we're to be examples to others, particularly our children. You know, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, I remember one time I was driving down the road and Jeremiah was with me. And I had something in my mouth and I couldn't get it out. I'm spitting out the window so bad. And I'm just trying to get this thing out. I look over and the guy's got spit down over the window and all over the place. I mean, it was a terrible mess. You know, the guy said, Bud, I said, what are you doing? He goes, I don't know. Well, I mean, the man didn't know, okay? But he knew what? Dad was spitting. I think I'm going to do her, right? Kids dragging stuff, brush all through the basement, you know, because I'm out dragging logs through my yard with a tractor. Kids got it on a three-wheeler, you know, in the basement. It was tricycles, dragging sticks around. They, you know, they do those things. Those little olive plants we're talking about. And they're blessed, folks, when their main examples in their lives are people who love them and care about them deeply. Their character, and people that care about their character and their relationship with the Lord. Who better than a father and mother that fear the Lord? Dad, they are looking for you and for you how you handle life circumstances. They're watching that. That's heavy. Because I don't always handle them well. I don't know about you. You know, how do you handle those things? Do you apologize? You say, wait a minute, I was wrong here. Or, hey, you know, back the truck up. I shouldn't have done that. Listen, we need to be open, you know. Mom, your time with those children is worth more than any amount of money, silver, gold, or diamonds. Listen, we could talk about all the great institutions of learning tonight. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Berkeley. Boy, that's a joke, isn't it, out there? Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, and we could look where all that higher education, look where it's really got us, right? No, there's no greater foundation to be found anywhere than right here in Psalm 128 with Dad and Mom who fear the Lord and that take on that high calling, all right, to be that man that fears the Lord and then that lady to be that blessed lady, that fruitful vine. This is a Bible picture here, and it's the very foundation, and it's the Lord's desire, folks, for future generations. That's what he wants. It's a picture here tonight that he gives. It says in Psalm 127 and verse 1, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's not let the foundations be destroyed. I don't know what God's speaking to you about tonight. You know, we've heard some things and saw that picture. You know, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. What's God talking to you about tonight? What's he want you to sharpen up on and, or maybe do this direction or that direction or whatever he would have? He's a kind God and he loves us and that's why he gives us this whole book. And so I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask Pastor to come. Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for our homes, our families, and thank you for your precious word. Just how great you are. Please speak to my brothers and sisters tonight. In this matter of how to
live and be in their homes and to help other, even other homes. Have your will and your way in Christ's name. Amen.
You know, we put a lot of attention on the our nation right now. And that's not a bad thing. Today being election day, certainly it's not a big election day, but there's still some important races going on. And that's important. God formed government. God established government. That's one of the institutions he established. The church is important. It's another institution that God established. But the first institution he established, the foundation of it all, is a home. And especially the church, if the homes aren't right, the church isn't going to be right. It's moms, dads, grandmoms, granddads. Make sure the home's right. Search your hearts tonight of the things that need to be changed in your home. That it be that fruitful place, that safe place, that society influencing place. Amen. Let's stand, please, for prayer.